want you on our team. You're too slow and fat.
This is weight bias.
Don't you care how you look?
Those with the serious disease called obesity face weight bias every day.
You're not the right fit for this job.
And blame themselves.
I wish I was different.
Weight bias hurts.
Let's stop weight bias.
Be part of the solution.
Go to stopweightbias.com. A public service message from Obesity Action Coalition.
You are listening to WRCT 88.3 in Pittsburgh, and this is From Ipanema to the World. From Ipanema to the World, I am Flavio Chamis. Tonight we have a program which we will introduce not only a pianist, but also the Instituto Piano Brasileiro, the Brazilian Piano Institute, that was founded in 2015 by Alexandre Dias, a pianist who was born and lives in Brasília. The Instituto Piano Brasileiro has the goal of promoting Brazil's rich piano world and an incredible website with databases, encyclopedia, discographies, sheet music catalogs, a timeline, photographs, a library, and a blog. And to tell us more about all that and his own career, we have Alexandre Dias himself as a guest of this program. I am myself curious to know about Alexandre's career and how he got to be where he is today. So welcome, Alexandre, to From Ipanema to the World.
It's a pleasure to be here, Flavio. Thank you very much for your invitation, and especially because we're going to talk about Ernesto Nazaré, one of my heroes. About my upbringing, I studied piano here in Brasilia, Brazil, with several teachers, mainly two teachers named Elza Gushiken and Neuza França. And with them, I learned the main repertoire from Bach to 20th century music. At the time, I didn't play much contemporary music or any whatsoever. But afterwards, I got very directed to Brazilian contemporary music as well. And very early on, I started to research Brazilian music, specifically through Ernesto Nazaré. When I was 14, I started collecting his recordings or the recordings of his music. I've always had this sort of collector inclination. And I wanted to know how many recordings existed of Nazaré's music. And at that time, this research had never been done thoroughly. So I started collecting hundreds and hundreds of recordings. I started trading with many collectors worldwide. I started to look for his compositions as well. So parallel to that, I wanted to have all his compositions in scores, all the sheet music, which also had never been gathered fully up until that time. Of course, we had libraries like the National Brazilian Library, which has many of his manuscripts, and there were several collectors that helped me on that endeavor. And eventually I got all his about 211, 212 compositions. Several of them were still not recorded. So I knew exactly which ones had never been recorded because I was also researching his discography, right? So I got very interested in making those compositions playable, you know, to be heard. And I started to learn them as well. So as a pianist, my research side walked hand in hand with the pianist, you know, and I started learning several of those pieces. I think I read through Nazaré's complete music, but I wanted to record the previously unrecorded compositions of his, but not only that, all his rare music. And we're going to listen to some of those recordings. So around 2007, I started to record in a sort of methodical way all his rare compositions. And it turned out to be around 70 pieces of music, which either had never been recorded or had only been recorded in sort of in the beginning of the century for orchestra or other kinds of groups, you know, but whose original piano solo composition had not been recorded yet. Because in Nazaré, that is important, because he was an extremely fine pianist, and his pianistic texture is so rich, you know. And through that work, I helped to bring forward and to shine light in several of his lesser-known compositions. So we are going to listen to some of those pieces. And the first one you're going to hear is called Desengonçado, which means clumsy. And it actually shows that kind of pianistic richness of Nazaré. He had so many great ideas, and it's actually a very hard piece to play. Thank you.
Cacique, that is the name of the piece we just heard. Cacique in Brazil is a name we give to the chief of any Indian tribe. It was played by Alexandre Dias, the guest of our program tonight. Alexandre also founded the extraordinary Instituto Piano Brasileiro. If you are interested in Brazilian piano music, go to their site. And to tell us more about Instituto Piano Brasileiro, here is again Alexandre Dias.
So around 2015, I have already conducted several projects related to rescuing many Brazilian composers. I had researched a lot Ernesto Nazaré, and by then I was one of the coordinators of the website Ernesto Nazaré 150 Years, produced by Instituto Moreira Salles, which is still available. But I also researched Chiquinha Gonzaga. I reviewed her complete works, which are available on a website. I also dedicated myself to composers like Henrique Alves de Mesquita, born before Nazaré, and he's extremely important to Brazilian music. Eduardo Souto, Zequinha de Abreu, the composer of Chico Chico no Fubá, and Marcelo Tupinambá. So I made websites to each one of those, and I researched and gathered the complete output they produce, or at least the maximum we could find, you know, saturating all the possibilities of research. And by 2015, I felt that I needed to create a bigger project to encompass all those initiatives and to amplify them so that I could bring this research to the whole universe of Brazilian piano, which, by the way, is extremely complex and rich and amazing. You know, we have at least 200 years of Brazilian piano. So I created the Brazilian Piano Institute, in Portuguese, Instituto Piano Brasileiro. It started in a very modest way, created a website and entirely made with my own resources, which is still available. It contains several databases for those interested in Brazilian piano history, in Brazilian piano repertoire, and we have rare photos, discographies, we have a very rich timeline. And also, I didn't foresee this, but we started to receive lots of important archives, musical archives, as donations from important pianists. And we immediately focused on digitizing those collections. So by now we have over 70 archives which have been donated to IPB or which we have asked permission to digitize, sort of an extension project. And we have received, for example, the personal archive of Guiomar Novais, which was saved from going to trash. This is quite common here in Brazil. The archive of Lucia Branco, the teacher of Nelson Freire, Arthur Moreira Lima, Tom Jobim, Jacques Klein, Luiz S. The archives of Nelson Freire, before he died, we collaborated a lot, and he had the intention that IPB should digitize his collection. Arthur Moreira Lima, we also digitize a lot of rare recordings and videos, which we have been posting, you know, and Souza Lima, so many others, Aloysio de Alencar Pinto. And each of these archives, they contain a real treasure because there are all sorts of documents. We have manuscripts, even unique copies, you know. We have first editions, we have concert programs, we have catalogs, clippings. Usually there's several hundreds of clippings collected by those pianists or by people around them. And of course, recordings. We have a huge amount of reel-to-reel tapes, which are not trivial to digitize in this era. You know, we need to have the right equipment. Usually they are not easy to find in a working condition and we have to fix them. And also other kinds of media, even rare media, going through digital tapes, mini discs, U-matics, all those kinds of medias which today are sort of extinct, and we have specialized in digitizing them. And then after we make that raw first stage of digitization, we start to build upon the documents and the material to transform them into content, into knowledge. So our main channel in which we put forward those discoveries is our YouTube channel. So you can look on YouTube for Instituto Piano Brasileiro, and you'll get to our channel, which now is completing 10 years in August, and we have published over 7,000 videos. Most of them are video scores. So this is a project we started early on, and which gives me a lot of pride, because we've been showing the pianists, the community, the researchers, so many rare compositions from the repertoire, you know, which was either lost or unknown or previously unrecorded. So we invite pianists to make First World recordings. We find old recordings and then bring them in synchronization with the score. So that is the purpose of the video scores, that the person can sort of dive into the piece. Because when you listen to the piece, if you're a musician, when you listen to the piece looking at the score, it's a whole different experience. You sort of see the blueprint of the architecture, right? And we've been doing that every single day for all those years. We publish around 3 video scores per day, which can be a miniature or a huge concerto. I think the longest one so far is Villa-Lobos Chorus number 11, which is around 1 hour and 10 minutes. You know, it's for piano and orchestra. It's probably Brazil's biggest piece of music for piano. And we cover every single generation of composers since the 1820s, because the first Brazilian piece of music for piano composed by a Brazilian-born person is the Pianoforte Method by José Maurício Nunes Garcia. And it has been recorded sometimes by now, and this is 1821. And since then, there have been so many amazing compositions, you know. So you can go decade by decade. For example, Henrique Alves de Mesquita was born in 1830. Carlos Gomes, 1836, he composed for piano. Chiquinha Gonzaga, 1847. Ernesto Nazaré, 1863. Francisco Braga, you know, Eduardo Souto in the 1880s. And then Villa-Lobos appears in, he was born in 1887, and then you turn the century, and the extremely rich 20th century is very represented in our work as well. So there you'll be able to listen to Ernesto Nazaré's complete works in sheet music, video scores, right? Villa-Lobos complete piano music as well, and really hundreds and hundreds of composers, including contemporary music, which I mentioned previously. We have a very rich dialogue with living composers, and we have published music by over 200 living composers by now. So part of our work is to show the richness of the music being composed today.
Thank you.
Warrior. This is the composition we just heard with the pianist Alexandre Dias. All the music we've been listening in this program is by Ernesto Nazaré. Ernesto Nazaré is extremely well known in Brazil and is a music that is very much between classical and popular, which is something that Alexandre Dias has been thinking a lot about and will share his ideas with us.
Yes, that is a very recurrent question, sort of philosophical question, because it deals with the way we classify him. And he's usually compared to two composers. He's compared to Chopin and to Scott Joplin. His similarities with Chopin are especially due to his rich pianism and to his waltzes, which are very Chopin-esque. But his similarities with Joplin are very interesting as well, because both composers sort of made a mixture of sort of the same influences. Comparing in a very broad way, we have the European dances, like the polka, the quadrilles. We have the Central American influences, like the habaneras, the Cuban music, and of course the African rhythms, which are very important in Brazil. And each country, the US and Brazil, sort of absorb them in different ways. And it's funny that recently a video on YouTube asked that exact same question regarding Joplin. Is Joplin a popular or a classical composer? Because, of course, he's the king of ragtime. And Ernesto Nazaré was the king of Brazilian tango, which is different from the Argentinian tango. Brazilian tango is sort of the grandfather of choro music, like Chico Chico no Fubá and other pieces. And in that video, they also remember that Joplin composed an opera, Tremonition. And of course, Nazaré has sort of the classical pieces, like the Polonaise. You know, he has an impromptu dedicated to Villa-Lobos, a concert etude. He has sort of those pieces. He has a mazurka, which he played in concert. He has a caprice, a very difficult piece as well. And I personally decided to abolish that dichotomy. I don't use those terms, classical and popular, you know. I think in Brazil, that's a very complicated subject, especially because thousands and thousands of pieces cannot be classified in either. They're exactly in a gray area. So if you have so many pieces in that gray area, maybe they're not exception. Maybe they're the rule, you know. So that is one of the reasons I decided not to use anymore that dichotomy. And that is not relevant for appreciating Nazaré. You can dive into his music and take as it is very rich music, a very rhythmic, very lyrical, with amazing phrases. He has so many ideas and so many insights, which sort of paved the way for at least 150 years, 200 years. Even today, we have composers sort of drinking from the fountain of Nazaré. As in the US, you have all the Joplin legacy. Of course, jazz sort of was born from the ragtime. Of course, with the blues and then all those 1920s pianists, which are amazing, like Jelly Roll Morton. We have all those as well in Brazil. We have our Jelly Roll Mortons, we have our Fats Wallers, every single decade after Nazaré. And that is a very interesting thing. So the equivalent of ragtime in Brazil is choro, the choro music. And Nazaré is sort of the father of choro, the king of choro. Thank you.
This piano piece we just heard, played by Alexandre Dias, is called Pauliceia. Pauliceia means anything related to the city of São Paulo. We have been listening to Alexandre Dias playing Ernesto Nazaré throughout this program. We also heard some details about the incredible work he's doing with the Instituto Piano Brasileiro. I would like to thank Alexandre for talking with us. And also thank you, listener, for joining us on From Ipanema to the World. I am Flavio Chamis, always here on Fridays at 7 p.m. WRCT-FM 88.3 in Pittsburgh. Or you can always live stream our program on wrct.org. And to have the last word in the program, here is one more time, Alexandre Dias.
It was a pleasure to be here, Flavio. Thank you so much for the invitation. I'm open to continue talking about Nazaré and Brazilian piano music. And also I'm open to receive messages and emails from people interested also in researching or knowing more about this rich universe. You can find me on Instagram at Instituto Piano Brasileiro, and also on Facebook, and also on YouTube. Thank you very much.
Good evening, Pittsburgh. You're tuned in to From the Basement here on WRCT Pittsburgh 88.3 FM.